What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson and hosted by two guys who are still in their cuckold division? Question mark, are you?
Well, by title, I am in, but I'm currently down by like 40 points because I'm going against both Boldy and Byram, who felt like just going off yesterday. So keep the fingers crossed, but a lot of nice things are going to happen.
That's a rough run. And if you can't tell by the voice, I am Jeremy Versillo, and joining me, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, other than the rough start in Cupful, which I am also facing a rough start against friends of the show, PJ, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, once you put in the biggest part of the week down, I'm all fine.
Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? Well, we've got a bunch of things to get into this fine Tuesday afternoon, so let's just start knocking out some injuries and outjuries that may affect your playoff matchups, and we just have to be ready to cut bait as soon as we can, or maybe even add someone real quick, because for most of us, we're in the finals this week, and even if your league goes one or two more weeks, some of these players may not play again this season. First up, we've got a goalie who got sent down. Joel Hofer got sent back down to AHL Springfield to help them with their playoff run, apparently unrelated to getting lit up in his last start. Does this mean Jordan Binnington is a must-add full-time in the net for three starts this week with a back-to-back Saturday-Sunday?
I say if your league values volume, then I'm going to go down that boat because I did that in two different leagues in Cupful. I had Hofer, so I needed just a person to play some games. Hopefully he does better, I think, as of this recording. Binnington has 0.3 Cupful points because of two goals. And then in another league, I had a goalie who we're going to be talking about next get injured. So I needed someone to fill in some starts. So if you need that volume, add him. But if you're looking for right stats or have few adds and need like premium points, maybe look elsewhere.
Couldn't agree more, especially when you've given up two goals in the first period against Vancouver already. Who was this other goalie you were referencing who went down day-to-day shortly before game time?
Talking about Carter Hart, he's been in the net all year doing everything he can do for the team, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. He was practicing with the team. He was declared to be the starter, and then just randomly they said he's out day-to-day. So we don't know if it's just a one-day thing or a week-long thing, so something to keep an eye on. So people may remember Ayrson, who played all lights out a few games in a row when I believe it was an injury or just a mixture of needing him to play. However, he's not starting tonight. It's the other player. It's Felix Sandstrom, I believe is his name. So it's going to be difficult to know that who's going to get the starts or if there's going to be actual starts to happen. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on, but I feel like this is going to be a bad situation for all goalies.
Totally agreed, especially in Philadelphia. One random aside, though, it's been lost in how bad Philadelphia has been this year, but I think the Carter Hart who was touted at the draft and drafted in the first round may have finally arrived. According to MoneyPuck's model, he is 11th in goals saved above expected, sharing company with Karel Vejmelka and Sam Montembeau, which may not be the greatest company, but kind of aligns with goalies on bad teams who have given you some good fantasy production just by stopping a lot of shots. Definitely keep your eye on Carter Hart in keeper leagues or going into next year.
I'm 100% with you there. Like, I have him in a Cats league, and it's just, you may not get the wins, but racking up the saves in a few lucky games, you might get like a really nice goals against average. So totally with you on that part.
Speaking of some sneaky value on some bad teams, Trevor Zegras went down injured yesterday during the game. He apparently, according to Coach Eakins, it happened in the first period. He had to leave and get it taped up or whatever he did. It wasn't good enough to go, so we'll have to see how that is for the road trip. Anything actionable here? What do you think we should be doing with Trevor Zegras?
Maybe this just means that McTavish is the kingmaker, because to my understanding, Terry is still out for personal reasons. We still don't know what those reasons are, so hopefully whatever it is, he is in a position to get better soon, but they're out their two best players. So, like, I would have to say that there's not really much else to look for, sadly.
I'm thinking what to look for is maybe we should play some Duck Hunt this weekend and pick up the opponents, both skater and goalie, who are playing against the Ducks. Because if you're missing Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras, the opposing team is going to have the puck a lot.
Yeah, good point. And talking about good goalies on bad teams, no matter what Gibson does, he's not going to be able to keep them afloat, especially if you look at his stats the last few games.
He did have, I think, 40-something saves last night, but also gave up 5 goals. So depends on what your league counts. If it's just a volume league, that's pretty useful. If it's ratios, that's still not that good. Moving on to another Pacific Division injury. Gabe Vilardi is day-to-day, but someone potentially interesting is replacing him on Power Play 1. What do you have here for us, Shams?
So this is a deep league cut. If you like your Power Play 1 Line 3 people, then call up Alex Iafallo, who's going to be doing that for you. He's still on the third line, not with the Kopitars or with the Danos. So I'm not sure how his 5-on-5 is going to be, but feels like all the Kings are scored, so maybe he might sneak something there. But that power play, at least, could be a mixture of how the Blues were on the PK, but they're red hot last night. So having a chance to have a piece of that pie in leagues where you might not have the most pickups targets, I would be tempted for Iafallo, but in probably most leagues, you might have better options.
I actually think Iafallo is a bit more interesting, even in, we'll call them, median depth leagues, the 12 to 14 teamers. He's got points in each of his last 3 games, 6 in his last 10, which is pretty reasonable for a streamer slash pickup. They're already playing tonight, and they play 3 more times this week. Granted, they're on the busy Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. But if you can fit him, I think it's worth chasing. He's shooting 2.5 times per game. Even before he was on Power Play 1, he was getting about 40% of the power play time on PP2. Maybe could be a lucky pick to win you your league if he pops off for a couple points in the next few games.
Oh, yeah, you're probably convincing me more. It's that I just am always paranoid of these people on hot streaks, like on the third line, randomly tapering off. But we've only got 1 week left, so you might as well ride the wave.
Totally. Another player who unfortunately just came back from injury and is now out again. What's going on in Montreal?
So this is a weird one because if I remember correctly, the coach was saying, yeah, Doc's playing. And then in between him saying that and the game, the team tweeted that he's not playing. So at this point, it's really first line or bust. You still have the Harvey Pernard, Suzuki, Hoffman line. And then there is on the second line, I'm not sure who this is. I think this is maybe his first game or pretty close to it, Farrell with Drouin and Gurianov. And like, well, Gurianov has been well. I'm not sure how much he's going to be with those two.
Yeah, Sean Farrell is a guy that our Dynasty League listeners probably know. He was a recent draft pick of the Canadiens, had a pretty good season at Harvard, and signed with the team when Harvard either got knocked out of the Frozen Four tournament or did not make it. I think he's got some potential, but wouldn't be chasing him in redraft playoffs right now. Just kind of a longer-term keeper-slash-dynasty peak. Next up, we've got a couple players who may be returning soon, and this is always the time of year where it gets really nebulous on who do I drop, who do I keep. I recently dropped Matt Barzal because he's not skating yet, and my season ends in 5 days. But Roman Josi is skating, Ryan O'Reilly aims to play next week, and Zach Werenski made the trip but won't play today. This is Tuesday. Do you have any more interest in any of those guys than others? I doubt Yossi's on your waiver wire, but O'Reilly and Werenski are available in almost all of my leagues. Would you be rushing to add either of those or monitoring the status?
I think this is one of the things where you're probably going to monitor and, like, for example, for Kekuffel, we're going to be ending our fantasy playoffs this week in my home league as well. But there are certain fantasy leagues where you might be playing next week as well. And then that's going to be where the thing is that keep an eye out for Ryan O'Reilly, I believe, is the one that's probably the most actionable out of the three, that A, he's probably available, and B, it seems to be the closest to potentially play it next week. And depending on where he slots in the line, if he gets that nice line with Tavares on line two could be a really nice shot in the arm for your team.
Agreed. O'Reilly was really hot right before he got injured. He had a hat trick in there, which is not common for a guy like him who doesn't shoot much, and was just seeming to mesh really well with the second line playing with Tavares and Nylander on his wings. Ironically, all three of those guys could be centers, so I had to specify who the wingers were. I also think Werenski is a trap. I just don't see him coming back quickly. The news today that he made the trip was kind of out of nowhere. Columbus is far out of it, and I thought I had seen somewhere earlier that he was done for the season. So, I mean, if it's announced that he's playing, pick him up quick, but I would not be rushing to add him beforehand anywhere, as this news may prompt some people to do.
Oh, 100%. He's a watch list at best, because, like, we were talking about Carlson weeks ago of, like, that's John Carlson, not the the one with 90 points right now. Is that basically that the Caps are out of the playoffs, are selling. He had such a major injury. Why would they ever bring him back? And he showed up. So I'm thinking there might be a potential that they might want to sneak in Werenski for a few games at the end of the season. But I'm with you. It's a potential. So watch list at best. Don't use an ad.
Even if they do sneak him in for a couple of games, it may not be during our fantasy playoffs. Most people end the second to last week of the season, and then there's another three-game stretch to end it. If they're going to sneak him in, it's probably for Game 81 or Game 82, which don't count for fantasy. And with that, let's go to a commercial break. And on the flip side, we're going to have a ton of hot-cold streaks for you to maybe give you some ideas for playoff streamers. Welcome back. As promised, we have about 10 different hot-cold players to go over now, which is a bit bigger than we usually do on short shifts, but we felt it was extra important to talk about some guys that may be quick pickups to win you your championship or cuts to win you your championship. Let's start off on a hot streak, though, with the guy who was the NHL's Player of the Week last week, and that is Victor Arvidsson. Arvi has 7 points in his last three games, including 2 goals in each of his last two. He's also shooting a ridiculous amount. He's in his last 10 games, he has 2 8-shot games, a 7-shot game, and everything else is a 3 or a 4-shot game. He's getting power play one time now in LA, and LA looks really good. They've been scoring a ton of goals and are in prime contention for playoffs. How fast should people be adding Victor Arvidsson, I guess is my question. Is this a pause the pod moment?
100%. The only reason I'm so happy I lucked out in my home league, the only reason I didn't pick him up on Monday is because I wanted a game out of a player. But the second is if you're somehow, if you're watching this live or if you're listening to this, even if you lost a Tuesday game, I would be far surprised that this might even be better than players that you have slotted on the busy days. Like, look at those shots. That's going to be hard to beat.
Totally. I'd be replacing a number of guys that we're going to talk to a bit later with Arvidsson. But right now, our first cold streak is actually a defenseman, so can't really one-for-one replace Arvidsson with him, and that's Chris Letang. Letang is pointless in, I believe, his last 4 games? 5 games? Oh, wow. No, it's actually his last 7 games he is pointless, including tonight, in which he, I think, originally had a power play assist.
Oh, they took it away? I was going to jump in with that.
It's unfortunate. It's actually, I'm on his frozen tools right now, and he is listed at 0 goals, 0 assists for 1 point. So I'm not really sure what's up with that, but according to the Discord, I don't see a Letang assist in there. Is there anything actionable here? Like, I feel like the shots are still there, the power play time's still there. This has to be just bad luck.
Yeah, this is a hold-your-nose moment, is that unless there's somehow a random, really strong defenseman that you have that somehow is on free agency, which I don't think there's going to be out there, I feel like there's going to be better ways to use your pickups than to drop Letang.
I agree. Unless you're fully flush with defensemen, I mean, like, you're rostering 5 or 6 defensemen and you only start 4, you, first of all, you probably have a worse defenseman than Letang to drop. You'd have to be in a 10-team league for Chris Letang to be your worst defenseman, even with this cold streak. And second of all, you probably want to drop a forward for a forward, as your bottom forwards are usually worse. Speaking of Penguins, there's a former Penguin who is now red hot with his new team. Kasperi Kapanen has been putting up points for the Blues. It looks like he's got 6-7 points in his last 10 games. Also, 7 points in his last 7 games. He isn't shooting a ton, but he's playing 16-17 minutes a night, and the Blues seem to score from all different lines. Do you have any interest in Kapanen?
I feel like this is going to be a guy that, like, it wouldn't be first on my list to pick up, but maybe if some of the other people that we're talking about, I'd be tempted to move on. Because one of the things I like is that he didn't really have the greatest deployment in Pittsburgh. However, he is playing with Buchnevich both on the power play and in even strength. So that really helps me because I'm a big fan of Buchnevich, who somehow is now a center. And I think all of that together with the fact that he is on a hot streak makes me feel like it is worth a pickup, but maybe not the first on my list.
So now we've talked both about Kapanen and Arvidsson. Would you replace either of the following two cold streaks with one of those guys? The cold streaks I'm referring to are Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler. You can go in on how cold they've been lately.
This is one of those situations where it's literally the whole team is just cold. Over the last 6 games, they're averaging only 1.5 goals a game. So, and then you got like the random ones that might be like a Dylan DeMello goal or a point here. So it's not even like always the top guys. So in my position, this might be like, I'm a kind of churn your roster kind of guy. You don't have time to wait. Either 100%, I would be dropping for Arvidsson. You could probably convince me Kapanen as well at this point. That's just more of just how low I am on the forwards of the Jets at this moment.
You've got a good point there. The Jets as a whole team have been terrible. The only saving grace is they have a Friday-Sunday schedule to end this week, which may be nice to hold on to, but also you could potentially stream them out and get them back just because of how bad they've been. And honestly, they've both been a disappointment this whole season, so I'd do it. One more forward hot streak that maybe you can talk about how you do. Would you replace Scheifele or Wheeler with this guy? Joel Farabee has an inexplicable like goal streak on the Flyers. He hasn't really been shooting a ton, but has scored a goal in 4 of his last 5 games, not counting tonight, and has an assist in 3 of them. I think this is a little bit of puck luck, but the time on ice is there, and we saw what Farabee could do last year. And now with Tyson Forrester getting sent down to help Lehigh Valley on their playoff run, there's even more room in that top 6 and power play 1 for Farabee. Are you as interested in Farabee as like Kapanen, or a little bit more?
This one's a tough one, like, because I'm not sure how to feel about Philly as a whole. And while you said that he hasn't been shooting, interestingly enough, he did have a 5-shot game and then a few 3s. It was really bad before, so when you average it out, it doesn't look the greatest. But depending on how he is, maybe tonight, I don't have his stats up right now, but it might be a tempting ad. But for some reason, it's just a Farabee. It's just one of those guys I feel like you could just pick up and he does absolutely nothing. But he is showing some points, so it feels like one of those risky ads. I'd probably go Kapanen and Arvidsson, obviously. But Kapanen, since he has Buchnevich with him, I feel like that's just enough to put him over Farabee. But you could probably flip a coin and see how Farabee goes, and it could be a great or just do absolutely nothing for you, in my opinion.
I'm rooting hard for the great because I picked up Farabee this morning in a league. It looks like his linemate Owen Tippett just scored, but don't see a Farabee assist on that yet, unfortunately. Kapanen actually just put up an assist, and the Blues now are up 5-2, so that helps the Binnington ad from earlier. But let's move on to another cold defenseman. Is Aaron Ekblad completely out of fantasy relevance at this point? Like, he has fallen so far from being like a top 4 round draft pick. It hurts to watch.
Oh, it is just amazing to see in the wrongest of ways. In the last five games, he has one assist and eight shots. And the worst part about those eight shots, four of them happened in the last game. So it just shows that just how poor. I think it was like out of the last five, it was 4-2-2 and then zeros. So it is going in the right direction, but I'm not sure how long you have to wait to see if it goes in the right direction, especially the fact he's on power play too. The team's not doing great, like overall as a team winning, and he's not even getting the time with the best players. I would like Letang showed me enough for me to be thinking that he was not your worst defenseman. At this exact time, I would not be surprised if Ekblad is your worst defenseman in a redraft league at this moment.
I had him as one of my keepers in a keep seven, and I don't think there's a way I can keep him again, especially when I've got Dougie Hamilton, and I may keep Brandon Montour over his teammate Aaron Ekblad. I will say, Ekblad is still shooting three times a game on the season, which is a great mark for a forward, let alone a defenseman. But his power play time is evaporating, his even strength time on ice is evaporating, and also he just isn't scoring as many goals. I think his fantasy value was a bit boosted by pretty high for a defenseman shooting percentages the past few years. I mean, he shot 8.4% last year and 10.9% the year before. Normally defensemen are 5-6%, which is 6.2% is where he's at this year. Okay, a couple more. We have another forward hot streak to talk about. Kyle Palmieri, who you unfortunately did not add after debating it yesterday. I'm so upset for you that like you talked about it and he got a two-goal game. He's been just really good for the Islanders. The Islanders have outscored their opponents 34-19 with Farabee on the ice. He's got 22 points in 27 games, and 9 of his 13 assists have been primary assists. Do you see this continuing? It's kind of amazing with Matt Barzal out that Palmieri's still doing his thing.
Honestly, I am surprised to read these stats. I read these stats preparing for the show, not for the ad. If I read this tweet earlier, I may have made that ad, but I feel like he might be just one of those situations. I joked a couple of times on the Thursday show of doesn't matter how good the team is if your guy's getting points, he's getting points. And I'm not sure off the top of my head how their schedule is, but probably just out of spite, I'm not going to use one of my ads. I'm already two ads down, but I wouldn't fault someone that wants to carry this because it sounds like 27 games that, you know, obviously he's not going to get you the two goals, but he's doing enough that and long enough that I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps on being decent. But this is the Islanders we're talking about. If they could win every game 1-0, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay, yeah, that is New York Islanders hockey for you. I don't know. I've been burned by Kyle Palmieri so many times in the last 5 years of playing fantasy hockey, basically since whenever he left the Devils. I'm having a hard time buying myself in on that. I'd probably put him on about the same level as Farabee, just depending on which days you have openings, but I'd be adding Kapanen and Arvidsson well before him. A cold goalie we've got. Have you seen how bad Sergei Bobrovsky's numbers have been lately? When Spencer Knight went into the player assistance program, I thought Bobrovsky could be a league winner with Florida's playoff schedule and the fact that they're really making a push. But Bob's just been abysmal lately. He's given up 5 goals in 3 of his last 6 starts and 4 in 2 of them. 3 of his last 7 and then 4 in 2 more. And then the other 2 were decent. But Florida's lost 3 straight now. They're falling out of playoff contention. Do you want anything to do with Sergei Bobrovsky?
This is one of those situations that, like, I view him maybe in the same bucket as, like, Binnington. If, like, value's the only thing you're interested in, and, like, maybe you want just, like, in a Cats league where you're looking for saves and maybe fall into a win randomly, that's as high as I would go. Because at this point, out of, like, you said those stats, like, in the last 4 games, it's an 871 save percentage. That's probably going to get you negative points in most point leagues. And he's only got you 1 win, so the win's not going to help you fare yourself into the positive. And hell, if you get a positive 1 point from your goalie, probably should have looked elsewhere. So points leagues, probably not. Cats league, unless you're very interested in volume, I'd probably look elsewhere.
One last player to add to our running list of hot forwards that we've talked about today. It kind of just played out that all of our hot streaks were forwards. Marcus Johansson was the beneficiary of the Kaprizov injury. He got elevated into the top six and has produced. He's had 10 points in his last 10 games and has even started getting power play one time because it looks like they just can't keep him off the ice. Where would you rank him in our kind of rough list of players that we've talked about today? Is he up there with Arvidsson and Kapanen, or is he down further with Palmieri as for how interested you are?
This might be just overthinking him because I was a fan of him. He had some nice streaks in Washington when he was with better players. Obviously, Arvidsson is on his league of his own. I would be potentially putting him maybe with Kapanen because it's the same idea. A guy that doesn't shoot a lot with a really good player, or with a good player, I'd say Boldy and Butch. You could probably make an argument at this exact moment, probably who's better. And then at least with the exact moment, two hat tricks. You could say Boldy's probably better in the very moment. But either way, neither doing shots, neither giving really hits or blocks, and getting random assists or points. They're probably the same player. So if you like Kapanen and you like Johansson, maybe see who's fits in your lineup better, or help take both depending on how your roster's looking.
I have a harder time getting behind Johansson still. Maybe I've just watched him so many times in Washington and been like, this is just an unexciting player. Like, he's very good at doing his job, but never stands out from an eye test standpoint. He does have the deployment, though. I'd say, comparing to Kapanen, St. Louis has the better schedule going forward, but Johansson has dual eligibility in a lot of leagues. So definitely roster by roster, worth the consideration as a pickup or streamer, though, in just about any league. With that, we are out of time for today. Hopefully we gave you a nice boost in all of your playoff matchups. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK, as well as Brian and Elon at Keeping Carlson. I also recommend you follow at GameDayLines, at GameDayGoalies, at GameDayNewsNHL, and at GameDayStatsNHL. All organized nicely at the site, GameDayTweets.com. Visit that site and other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach, and John Reed is our digital media producer. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.